Well, welcome to church, everybody. Aren't you so glad that you're here today? Come on, what a great experience so far. Let me take a moment, let me look right into the camera and say a welcome to all of our locations that are joining us together, including everybody joining us online. Come on, everybody at Newark, help me give it up for everybody joining us across Journey City. Thank God. Well, my name is Brad, and I'm one of the pastors here, and my wife Haley and I have been a part of the Journey for 11 years now, and I'm just so thankful to Pastor Mark for all of the coaching and development and pastoring, really, that he's done for me, and even just the opportunity to be with all of you right now speaking this weekend. So can you help me show some love to our lead pastor and his wife Susie as well? I know they're watching. So thankful for him. We're in the middle of a series that we've been calling Game Changers, really looking at some game-changing decisions that we can make that will fuel our faith in this season. And week one of the series, we learned from Pastor Mark that our faith is only as good as its foundation. And then last weekend, he had a great but also a little challenging message for us about what it looks like to be the kind of people who don't just talk about things, but actually go and do. And so if you missed either one of those messages, I want to encourage you maybe sometime this week while you're driving or going to the gym, why don't you check out our YouTube channel, go back and watch them. I think they can help fuel your faith in this season as well. But for this weekend, I need a little bit of crowd participation on the front end. I'm wondering how many of us have ever had a moment where you had to choose to be honest, even though you knew it would cost you? Had a moment when you had to choose to be honest, even though you knew it would cost you. Yeah, many of us have had a moment like that. Maybe as a kid, you knew your room looked like a tornado had gone through it, and your mom had asked you four times to clean it, and she asks you again, did you clean your room? You have to be honest. No, okay, that they cost you a little bit. Or maybe as an employee, you presented an idea to the boss and he said, well, how'd you come up with that idea? And you had to say, well, it was actually somebody else's idea and you knew it might cost you. Or maybe as a spouse, you've been asked, honey, what do you really think of my mother? That one you might have told a half-truth on, let's face it. Because I believe that the phrase, happy wife, happy life, should be in the Bible. Can I get an amen from a married guy in the room? I mean, it should be in the Bible. Well, I had a moment like this where I had to choose to be honest, even though it would cost me whenever I was 16 years old, because my first vehicle that I drove consistently was my dad's E350 Ford conversion van with a high top. Come on, baby. This thing is sexy, right? Nothing says take me on a date quite like picking her up in that vehicle. I mean, this thing could go 0 to 60 in 5.2 minutes. It took forever. This thing was, it worked. It was the first set of wheels. You know, the first time you get a car, you think it's the greatest thing of all time. That's how I felt. And one day I was driving home and I got in the driveway and for some reason confused which vehicle I was actually driving between my mom's and my dad's. And I went, my mom's car gets parked in the garage and went to park my dad's van with the high top in the garage. Needless to say, it doesn't fit. And so I smacked the roof of the truck on the garage, ended up cracking the roof of the van, ended up cracking even to the point where almost the entire foundation of the garage was shaken. And a couple hours later, my dad comes home and he says, all right, what happened to the van? And I had to make a decision in that moment. Was I going to tell the truth or was I going to make up some kind of story? And so I was 16 years old and I was dumb, so I tried to play dumb and act like I wasn't sure what happened. And about 5 seconds in, realized he wasn't fooled. He was gonna see right through it. So I ended up fessing up. And sometimes we know it can be hard to be honest when we know it will cost us, right? For me in that moment, it cost me a couple $100 to get the truck repaired and then also losing the keys for a few days. But sometimes it costs us even more, things that are more important to us, like our reputation or time or money or even a relationship. And let's face it, wouldn't it just be a little bit easier, or at least it would feel a little bit easier if we didn't have to be honest all the time, right? Like if we could put a spin on something and make ourselves look better or get away with something that we know we've done, wouldn't it be a little bit easier? You know, sometimes that's what we want to do. But at the end of the day, I think we would all agree, even if we're not even sure what we believe about God, that we want to be the kind of people with integrity, right? We want to be the kind of people that our word counts for something, that we can be depended on, that we can be trusted, that we can be looked at as someone who's upstanding, that we are generally a good person or generally do the right thing. I don't even think it matters exactly what you believe about God or spiritual things. I think we would all agree we want to be known as people with integrity. So what do we do whenever there are moments that present obstacles to us having integrity? Do we be honest and tell the truth and have that integrity? Or do we try to protect people's perception of us? And so today we're gonna look at a moment in Jesus's ministry that challenged some people's integrity, especially religious leaders who claim to have it all together. And these words that we're about ready to read from Jesus throughout our time together today, they're pretty tough, especially in 2024, when it feels like if someone comes against your integrity or if someone questions your integrity, it feels like a personal attack to the highest degree. And so these can be tough words, but I want to challenge us to read these words together from the perspective that Jesus actually has more for us. That Jesus has more for us. So let's read it together. Here's what God's word says in Matthew 23, that then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples. So let me set the stage for you. Jesus is with these religious leaders. They're standing off to the side of him. They've just had several interactions, and he actually turns, and now he speaks to the crowd. He speaks to his disciples, his closest followers. But those religious leaders are still standing right there. He's just about ready to call them out and talk about them while they're standing right there. Like, it's about to go down. Everybody say, it's about to go down. So Jesus says, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. They're the ones that know what the scripture says. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. Those are some intense words from Jesus, right? Those are intense words. Now, we've all met somebody who does something for show, right? Like that everything they do is for show. And those people can drive me crazy, right? It's the coworker who acts one way around you and then another way around our boss, right? Or maybe it's our sister who's posting things on social media, and let's face it, we know that her life is not as exciting as she makes people believe it is. Or maybe it's the college student that every fourth word you hear out of their mouth is how they're broke and don't have any money, but they're walking around campus with a pair of Yeezys. And you're like, I don't understand. Everything we do is for show. Well, when we try to make ourselves look better, we have a tendency to show off. All of us, myself included, we believe or say or do things that are trying to impress other people on the outside, but often it can actually leave us feeling more empty on the inside. You see, people with integrity, they don't show off because they're humble. They care about honoring God and loving the people that are around them. And what would it look like together today, church, if we could focus more on the God that cares so much about us instead of the people who couldn't care less about us? What would that look like if we could have that kind of integrity and live our lives that way? Well, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they were show-offs, but Jesus says that they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. They just keep heaping these requirements and expectations onto people, and whenever it counts, they're not even there to help. I love how another version of the Bible says it this way. It says they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Again, tough words. Especially, like, have you ever felt crushed by someone who claimed to be a Christian or claimed to be religious? Have you ever felt hurt by somebody who maybe said something or took advantage of you or said something that you weren't expecting somebody who called themselves a Christian to actually say? Maybe somebody told you that you had to dress a certain way to come to church. Or maybe someone said that you, if you don't give a certain amount of money every single time that you walk in the building, you should feel pressure or ashamed or everybody's gonna look at you funny, or maybe you felt that. Or maybe when you got close to someone in an attempt that they had to point something out in your life that you needed to grow in, they just did it in a terrible way and it left you feeling attacked and hurt because of the way that they approached the conversation. I think we've all been there at some level. I know I certainly have. I've experienced my own kind of church hurt. These people who keep piling on this list of ways of how we're making mistakes or don't measure up to their picture of Christianity. And I just want you to know that if that's you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you've experienced that, because that's not the Jesus that I read about in the Bible. That's not how he acted. And it's why I'm so thankful that here at The Journey, we are real church for real people, meaning that we come in carrying our own loads. We come in with our own burdens, and we're willing to admit that we don't have it all together. We're willing to say, you know what, I struggle with anxiety, or I'm worried about money a lot, or I'm still battling lustful thoughts, or I've been through addiction and recovery. We're willing to say, I don't have it all together, but I'm not going to hide that. I'm going to continually bring it to the surface and submit that to Jesus. Being real church for real people and being someone with a life of integrity means that we're honest about how we really are doing in life, even if it costs us. But we're also not willing to allow ourselves to stay in that same kind of dysfunctional behavior. Here's how I thought about it, is that real church for real people means that you can come as you are to church, just don't stay the same way you came. You can come as you are to church, just don't stay the same way you came. So what's one thing that we can continue to grow in? You see, real church for real people, it's not just an excuse to live our everyday ordinary lives and sprinkle a little bit of God in whenever we feel like it, or whenever we're here present gathering on a weekend like those religious leaders were trying to do. It means that we come to a community of faith without the shame and the weight that all of our mistakes and our past and our failures holds us back from. And instead, we trade that in for more of Jesus. We bring every single week, every day to God, here's how I'm trying to grow in my relationship with you. Would you forgive me and help me continue to move forward and become more and more shaped into the image of God? That's what it means to live a life of integrity. And so Jesus says that these religious people, they're doing everything for show and they're making people jump through all kinds of hoops. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. In other words, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. We've all heard this phrase before, and there's so much truth to it, right? That actions speak louder than words. We're not impressed by the person who made a New Year's resolution to go to the gym. We're impressed by the person who actually goes to the gym consistently, even if they do get Chick-fil-A on the way home. You know, maybe you're like me and you get a little annoyed with people that say, hey, we should hang out sometime. And you go, yeah, sounds good. How about next Tuesday? And they go, I'll let you know. Like, you asked. You were the one that said, your words said, let's hang out sometime. Sure, how about I'll let you know. Okay, fine. Actions speak louder than words. I think ultimately people know what to say to sound good, but eventually our actions will always prove our integrity more than our words do. People know what to say to sound good, but eventually our actions will always prove our integrity more than our words do. And so for these religious leaders that Jesus is talking about, they know the words to say. They know how to make themselves look more religious. They know how to quote Bible verses. They know how to pray dramatically. They even have Bible verses in their Instagram bio. They know how to look better. They know how to say words, but all they really know is words. All they really know is the religion side of things. And I wonder if maybe I can just challenge us a little bit this morning. How many of us come to church on a weekend and we sing a worship song and we lift our hands in the air and we say, God, you are so, so good. All my life you have been faithful. You will always be good to me. And then we act completely differently whenever we go home or at work on Monday morning. How many times do we come to church and we experience God in a powerful way, but then life is different? The words are right, but the actions don't line up with the words. Maybe you're posting on social media trying to get people's attention to help make yourself look better or feel better. Or maybe you're cussing left and right with your friends. Or maybe you're living with or sleeping with someone who you have no intention of marrying and committing to for the long haul. Or maybe you're gossiping around the office, always kind of talking about people behind their back. I know it's challenging. And I found myself in situations like that. I still find myself there. In fact, I like to think of it this way. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, permission to call people out whenever you see a Christian's actions not lining up with their words. And that's the exact reaction I was expecting. Because all of us are just a little bit uncomfortable. Because, Brad, can you go to the verses where Jesus is nicer? I want the one about how much he loves me. I want the one about how he's got a plan for my life. I want the one that's like coffee mug verse. I think they both come together. In fact, I was encouraged by this verse this week that, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Why? Because actions speak louder than words. So if we have a relationship with Jesus, not just a religious experience, we put words to action. Actions speak louder than words when we serve other people, when we greet them in the parking lot for them to experience God for the first time, when we help their kids or students learn more about God and grow in their faith. Actions speak louder than words whenever we serve a meal with fresh food to someone that's in need through Code Red. Actions speak louder than words when we pray for somebody in our world who we know needs it most. Actions speak louder than words when we're generous with what God has entrusted to us. Whether we feel like we have a lot or a little, we don't spend our time worrying about our bank account and endlessly wondering or feeling pressure about what the best way is to be generous to other people. Those are words. Instead, we give. We put God first. We give in our Easter offering like we're going to do next weekend to help more leaders be empowered and more hungry people be fed and more people find Jesus and follow him fully. Actions speak louder than words. And serving and giving builds integrity in our lives. It helps us continue to grow. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I heard a pastor talk about this word integrity, and he was really poking at it, and I was feeling like, man, you are coming right at me right now. And he started talking about where the word integrity comes from and how it fits together. He said, life with integrity is whenever our whole life is completely undivided. It's united, that every part of our life integrates within each other. Which means our thoughts, our actions, our mindsets, our habits, in any environment, in any season, around any people, a life with integrity means that we integrate, we fit together all of those pieces, and it's cohesive. We have integrity. But the moment that we disintegrate our life by trying to pull things apart and act differently in this room than we do in this one. Act differently around this person than we do around this person. Act one way in church and another way in school. Act one way around our parents and another way around our kids. Act one way around these people and another way around these people. When we disintegrate our life by living in two different ways or with two different mindsets, what happens is our life disintegrates. Our relationships disintegrate. Our emotions disintegrate, our joy disintegrates, our hope disintegrates, our whole life begins to disintegrate, and it looks completely different than we wanted it to. So how do we change it? We have integrity. We don't put on a face on the outside. We instead work on being one authentic self in every environment that we're in. What if we could live the kind of life where we weren't constantly worried about who was around us and who was perceiving us a certain way? And if we just walked into every environment the exact same way? Where if we walked in going, I don't have it all together, I've made mistakes, but I'm constantly trying to get closer to God. What if we could walk into our homes after a long work day and treat people the same way that we would treat them at church or the same way that we would treat our kids? What if we could trust God in a different way? And be the same in all of those environments and be all in for our faith. Well, I think sometimes we do have a choice of whether or not we're gonna live a life of integrity. We could choose to be honest or not, even when it costs us. And Jesus points out pretty intensely to these religious leaders what happens when we don't live a life of integrity. And what we're about ready to read is some of the most direct language that Jesus gives in the entire Bible. Check this out. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees? Hypocrites! For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee. First, wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Like, Jesus, did you have a bad day? In fact, if you read this whole chapter, there's like 17 more of these. Like, my sister-in-law says it this way, who peed in your Cheerios this morning? Like, Jesus, what in the world? Did you have a bad day? Why did you say that? And I think you could certainly read that message, those verses, with that kind of an edge. There are moments in our lives whenever Jesus has tried every other way to get our attention. And he just has to be direct. He's just got to be able to call it out. In fact, if you read the chapter before this, those religious leaders spent the entire time trying to trap Jesus with something that he would say that would give them the authority to lock him up, put him in prison, and eventually kill him. And so Jesus, you could read it and go, yep, he got tired of that, and so he outsmarted him and out-theologied him and just figured it out. Or maybe, what if we read this passage with a different tone? What if instead of hypocrites, blind guides, and you're filthy, and Jesus wagging his finger at us, saying, get your act together, saying, if you don't, you're going to hell. What if instead of Jesus giving him one of these, he's actually not having a bad day? What if he's saying it because God is actually grieved? Because he sees where we could be and what he originally designed us to be. And he sees a purpose for our life that's so much greater than what we're currently living in right now. What if Jesus is just being clear, but he's actually being compassionate? What if there's a softness to his voice in this? What if in the moments when our integrity falls short, God is actually just saying to us, hey, I know you made a mistake. I know that probably wasn't the best choice. Like, you can keep going down that path if you want to, but I can see the end of it. And I can see the hurt and the discouragement and the anxiety that it's going to cause you. And I just don't want you to go down that way. Because I'd love for you to be the same person that I created you to be, instead of being one person in this room and a different person in this room. I have more for you. What if we could hear the compassionate voice of God, where Jesus said, he called the religious leaders hypocrites and greedy, selfish, and impure. What if God's saying to us, you can be hypocritical if you want to, where your actions and your words don't line up. You can try to always make yourself look better in front of other people. Or you can trust me and you can do what you're gonna say you're gonna do. And you can have peace. What if Jesus is saying you can live your life being greedy, always worrying about a dollar, always worrying about how much you made this week or how big your portfolio is, or you can shift your perspective and you can be generous? What if he's saying we can be generous in the Easter offering, where we have an opportunity to have an eternal return on investment, not just something that pays the bills or not just something that accomplishes something that we desire, but instead helps more people find Jesus and follow him fully? What if Jesus with compassion is saying, you can live your life being selfish if you want to. I'll still love you. I'll still walk with you. You can live your life trying to get your own needs met. But hey, I'd love to invite you into this place of experiencing something more. Why don't you serve for an hour a week on the J team? Why don't you build in an environment where somebody's counting on you to show up and then use your gifts to make a difference in the lives of others? What if God's simply saying, you can live your life being impure if you want to. You can constantly be trying to protect your perception from other people. Maybe there's a secret in your life that no one else knows about. And God's saying, you can keep doing that if you want to, but I'm looking down that path and I see how it's eating you alive. What if you just got honest with me and with yourself and with one other person? God's saying, I've got more for you. And it comes when we lead a life of integrity, where Jesus is wanting us to see that there's a better way to live. There's a better way that can bring joy, a better way that can clean us from the inside out. Maybe you're sitting there today and you go, I like that, Brad, but why wasn't Jesus just a little bit nicer? I get that. I have 10-month-old twins at home. And right now my daughter, Tessa, she's just starting to crawl and she's going everywhere all over the house. And Tessa's exploring everywhere. She's grabbing everything and doing everything. And we've baby-proofed the house as best as we can, but it still looks like a war zone. Come on, if you've been a parent, you know what I mean. And occasionally, if I want to get Tessa's attention, she doesn't always know what I'm saying. She's still very, very young. But I'll look at her and I'll go, Tessa, no. And of course, then she's not looking at me, but she goes. Because she knows her name. And my goal is to be clear. I'm trying to teach her something. I'm trying to go, don't touch that. Don't go over there. That's going to hurt you. That's going to harm you. And the other day, Tessa, she crawled over to a table that we have in our foyer and she stretched up and she got her hands all the way up to the top. And the moment that she got her hands all the way up to the top, she's kind of standing on her tippy toes and she doesn't have any balance and she slipped. And down she came and her chin hits on the bottom shelf of the table that we have there. And of course, she starts crying and she's losing her mind. It hurts so bad. And she, Dad, why have you abandoned me for this? How could you let this happen to me? These are all the words that I make up for my daughter. You know what I did after that? I didn't just stand there and go, well, stupid, you should have figured it out. She's still learning. You know what I did? I ran over and I scooped her up like a good dad. And I said, oh, honey, I love you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God's looking at you right now. Through every decision you've made, every past failure, every mistake, every area of sin in your life, he's ready to just scoop you right up like a good dad and go, it's okay. I've got more for you. You thought I was just yelling at you. You thought I was just wagging my finger waiting for you to slip and fall. You thought I was limiting your freedom by not letting you go to different places and do different things. But what you thought was limiting was actually my greatest act of love, because I needed you to see that I've got a better plan for you. And when you live your life where integrity is at the center, where our actions line up with our words, we experience a whole new version of God that maybe we've never experienced before. And so I'm reminded today that actions speak louder than words. So Journey, how will you act this week? How will you act this week? What are you gonna do? What's something that's come to mind over the last few minutes? Maybe even are you gonna go to Plugged In right after this gathering? Learn more about how you can have a game-changing part in this community of faith. Are you going to pray and listen and prepare to give in the Easter offering? What are you going to do? How are you going to act? And if you'd say, this weekend, I want my actions to speak louder than my words, then I wonder all over this place if you'd boldly raise your hand and just let me pray for you. I want to pray a real prayer of encouragement over you. Come on, would you open up your heart big to God right now? Father, we thank you. We're so grateful for just moments like this. And God, I pray that you would help us live the kind of lives that have integrity, where everything fits together, where you're at the center of it, where you are our number one priority. God, for all the ways that our words have caused us to fall short, all the ways that they haven't lined up with our actions, God, we repent right now. We turn away from that. We're sorry for that. We ask for your forgiveness in that. Help us turn and step into a new life with you, a life full of integrity. And while you let God speak to your heart for just another moment more, there's something that struck me last night, that Jesus was the ultimate picture of integrity. His actions always lined up with his words. So when he said he came to give us a rich and satisfying life, or say that he came to save us, he didn't just say it. He was arrested and beaten and led up on a hillside, nailed to a cross, and he died. And eventually he rose again, conquering death once and for all, so that we could have a relationship with God, that all of our mistakes, all of our failed integrity moments could be forgiven, and we could have a new life with him. And if you're here today and you've never thought about it that way, or you've never had a moment where you've been able to accept Jesus, it would be my joy to lead you in a very simple prayer for you to put your faith in Jesus today. So one more time, why don't you join me? All hearts open up big to God. And if that's you, you're ready to put your faith in Jesus, just say something like this. Use my words if they help you, but whisper out a prayer to God. Say, Jesus, today I believe in you. Forgive me of all the mistakes I've ever made. I'm trusting you with my life. Help me live my life from now on with you as my number one priority. And if that's you, you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, while everybody's still focused on God, I wonder all over this place, I wonder if you would raise your hand boldly saying, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today. Thank God. It's incredible. Come on, nice and high. Keep it up. I'm putting my faith in Jesus today. All of our locations right now. If you're online, type faith into the comments. I'm going to follow up with you, resource you. And then, Journey, this is too good. We got to celebrate people putting their faith in Jesus today. Come on. Can we celebrate God together? Thank God.